Hey, Penrith Baptist Church, and welcome to this week's message in our series called Setting the Stage. And the message is going to be about Jesus' family. And I've really enjoyed this series on setting the stage, looking at Genesis chapter 1 to 3, and just seeing how God has set the stage for everything that he's going to do. And so much that are in those first three chapters, so much of what God wants to do are there in Genesis 1 to 3. And talking about family, it's no different. And we read here in Genesis chapter 2, the very first kind of mention or reference to a family here in verse 24, it says, "That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." So right there, we see a reference to the family unit. Also in Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. So we read about mothers and fathers in those, just in those two verses, which sets the stage, doesn't it, for family thousands and thousands of years later to today. We see families, we see mothers and fathers and children and grandfathers and grandmothers and uncles and aunties. We see and all these families that all went, all that track back to Adam and Eve. And so I started actually by thinking that this message would be about family, like my family and your family, and some families are wonderful, some other families are wonder bad. Some families are dysfunctional, some families are disconnected, some families are estranged, some families are estranged, and some families are just strange, and some families are amazing, and some families are great, and then there's everything in between those things. And some families, even as I'm talking about family, you may be thinking, yeah, my family's awesome and wonderful and fantastic. And I would say the same. But you might be listening to this and thinking, my family isn't. My family's actually really hard. My family has never been a family. So instead of talking about our families, today I wanted to talk about God's family and what it is to be a part of God's family. And so we want to talk about Jesus. Because not only is God a really good father, a really, really good father, we have a really good, if I'm going to use this term, big brother called Jesus. And we call Jesus our brother because he is the firstborn son. He is the fully legitimate son of God who was born of Mary. He was the first son. He is actually the only son born of God, directly born from God. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, when Jesus was born through Mary. But when it comes to us, because we actually fit in God's family, we fit in Jesus' family. Look at these verses here in Ephesians chapter 1. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." And also look at these versions in Romans chapter 8 that we'll be coming back to in a little bit. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship or daughtership. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, part of the message around today and what we're actually going to be doing in the service on today, Sunday, where we do this live, we're actually going to be hearing from Lisa. Now, I worked with Lisa for quite a few years and in the same office with a team of about 6, 7, 8 or other people. And so we get to know each other in that team. And so Lisa and I had some conversations and got to know that Lisa actually was adopted. And Lisa's going to be sharing live around some of these thoughts. But I wanted to just kind of allude to that even in this online message, because I learned something from Lisa that I hadn't really thought of about adoption before. Because normally when we think of adoption, that there's a part of us that goes, oh, I'm so sorry, because we don't necessarily always get it. I guess our assumption is that because the birth parents, for whatever reason, weren't able to raise their child, and that they find that the babies and the children find themselves in another family, if we're not careful, we can sometimes think that that's less than ideal, but that's not always the case. And it certainly was not the case in Lisa's family, who was adopted, and she was a part of an amazing family. But here's the thing that I learned about Lisa and her being adopted, is that there is a power and an amazing thing about being chosen to be loved. Now, when I was born, into my parents' family. I was the firstborn in my family. And I had my birth mum and my birth dad, who are my mum and my dad. And I have loved that all my life. I have loved that. And it's always been a special family. And my brother, who was born 3 years after me, we have an amazing family from then. And now I'm now a part of a bigger family. I'm married and my wife, and we have 3 children, and it's all wonderful. But for Lisa, her situation was different because her parents chose her. And to live knowing that you've been chosen on purpose to be loved is a different dynamic. And it helps us to understand what God is saying when he says that we are adopted. That it's actually not a less than thing. It's not a less than ideal. It's not a subpar situation of being a son or a daughter. No, when we are adopted, the verses that we read before said that we are chosen, that he chose us on purpose, chose us to be his sons and daughters. And that was what I learned from Lisa and her revelation of her being chosen and adopted by her heavenly father, already having been adopted and chosen by her earthly parents. It's given me a different perspective to know that there's something really special about being adopted. Now, I know Lisa's story isn't everyone else's story either, but what is our story is that we are adopted by our heavenly father. He's not just stuck with us. He's not just putting up with us. It's not like we're the black sheep of the family that we, went astray. But he has to love us anyway because we're his son or his daughter. No, I mean, we may have gone astray. We may have not always done right, but he has still chosen us, and he's chosen to love us, and not just to love us. It goes deeper than that, but to love us as sons and daughters. And that is an amazing thought. And that's what it is to be a part of God's family, to be a part of Jesus' family. So I'm going to make a statement here. You are just as much a child of God as Jesus is. I'll say it again. You are just as much a child of God as Jesus is. How does that make you feel when I say that? Like, do you wrestle with that? Do you have a whole lot of sub clauses? Yeah, but Scott, you didn't mention this. But it doesn't change the truth that we are just as much a child of God as Jesus is. Let's go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says, the Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now that word testifying is actually a legal term. When someone testifies in court, they're testifying to what they saw, to what they know, to what they heard, and they're testifying with truth. There's a massive penalty if you give a testimony in court and you're lying about it. That's a whole other topic for another time. But when you testify, and when this word here and the Holy Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, he's speaking truth, but it's not just a nice thought, and it's not just something to go away and ponder. It's actually, there's actually something even stronger. There's a foundation in this where the Holy Spirit is testifying. He is declaring the truth about something. It's not just me testifying on my own. It's not just me testifying to you that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit himself is testifying to our spirit. We are God's son. We are God's daughter. And if it wasn't the Holy Spirit who was testifying, then we probably always would question, wouldn't we, whether that's really true or not. And so to echo the testifying of the Holy Spirit, hear his words today. You are God's child. You are God's son, or you are God's daughter. Also in Romans chapter 8, a couple of verses before, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now let's talk about that word Abba for a moment. That's used on purpose. That word Abba is actually how we might, in our language, in our culture, say daddy. And when we say daddy, I don't mean like as a tiny little child who is just calling mum and dad, mummy and daddy. That word daddy actually signifies a depth of relationship. So my daughter, who's 22 now, she still calls me daddy. And it's not because she's a little girl, she's a grown woman, she's married herself. But she calls me daddy because there's a depth of relationship that we have that she calls me daddy. Now, going back some years, she thought it would be fun, and it was kind of lighthearted to call me Scott. And we had a conversation about that, because what I said to her back then, I said, you know, Scott is my name. People will call me Scott. Anyone calls me Scott. But there's only three people at that point in time in the whole world that get to call me dad. Only three. It was Jessica, her twin brother Matthew, and our youngest son Josiah. They were the only people in the whole world that were able to call me dad. Don't call me Scott. I mean, you can if you really, really want to, but our relationship is deeper than that. I'm your dad, and you can call me dad. And like I said, she calls me daddy because of that closeness. So we cry Abba, Father, meaning we call him daddy. We come to him like with that closeness. Now, it may feel weird calling him daddy. I'm not saying that you should do that, but understand that we have this relationship with him that is so close, that is so deep, and he chose it for us. He's brought us into this, that we can call him Dad, Father, our Heavenly Father. In Romans 8:17, moving on, it says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, I read this quote from a well-known theologian from a long time ago. His name is Spurgeon, and here's what he said, talking about being co-heirs. It means, first of all, that our right to the divine heritage stands or falls with Christ's right to the same inheritance. We are co-heirs. If Jesus be truly an heir, then so are we. And if Jesus be not an heir, then neither are we. But here's the good news. Jesus is a true heir. Jesus is the only Son who was born of God. And like I said before, that's what we celebrate at Christmas time. And so we are now co-heirs with Jesus. It's another legal term, actually. But this means that everything God has, we have access to. I'm trying to provoke here a little bit, but think about that. This means that everything God has, we have access to. And for some, we might feel like we need to put a little disclaimer in there, a little subclause that might say, this means that everything God has, we have access to, and let's throw some brackets, according to his will. And that's not that that's incorrect. We know that's the case, but as a son or a daughter, we would already know that, wouldn't we? We would actually assume that that's the case. We actually want that to be the case because of that relationship with our Heavenly Father. As a son or daughter, the words according to his will are already in our context. But this message is not about what God does or does not give us. It's about us being reminded that we are sons and daughters of God and that we have been chosen and adopted into his family. And so, like it or not, you have me as a brother. How wonderful for you. That is a joke. Is it any wonder, though, that Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way? And before we read it, we can see the invitation to approach God as our Father. He's not like a sugar daddy where he's just got his, yeah, just have it. Here's the cash, here's the house, here's the cars, here's the everything you ever want. Here you go and have it. He's not that kind of father. He's not going to give us everything that we want, but he does want you to be close to him. He does want to give you everything that you need. So here it is in Matthew chapter 6. But when you pray, this is Jesus speaking, says, go to your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. And when you pray, do not use a lot of meaningless words as the pagans do, who think that their gods will hear them because their prayers are long. Do not be like them. Your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Now Jesus could have said, our Creator in heaven. He could have said, a whole out, all-powerful, almighty God, our strong tower in heaven. He could have said all those things, but Jesus taught his disciples and is teaching us, hey, when we pray, our Father, that's amazing. Abba, our Abba Father, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. And do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. So I want to encourage you today and encourage myself in this too, to live as sons and daughters, to trust God, to trust our Father as sons and daughters, to love as sons and daughters, to act like sons and daughters, to ask like sons and daughters. knowing that you are loved as sons and daughters. You're a part of Jesus' family now. Spurgeon also wrote these words, "If we are called joint heirs with Christ, we legally and strictly have no inheritance apart from Christ." And Spurgeon starts talking to his soul. He says, "Soul, this suggests to thee a solemn inquiry. Art thou in Christ or not?" See, all this hinges on whether we are in Christ or not. "Think not that thou canst ever be a partaker of the fullness of God unless thou art in Christ, with him vitally and personally one." And that's the invitation today. Are we in Christ? Are we in his family? Because he has chosen us. He wants us not as slaves, not as servants, not as little minions to do his bidding. No, he has chosen us. Even before the world was created, he knew us and he knew you and he knew me. Before, and he wants us. He is this open invitation to us to be his sons and his daughters. And he's a good father. He's an amazing father. He's a perfect father. His love for us is incredible. In fact, it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." To be a part of God's family, to be a part of Jesus' family, our Heavenly Father, we cry, Abba Father, Jesus as our big brother who we always look to, who we always follow his example. It's an amazing family to be a part of God's family. And that's how we can be a part of his family, through Jesus, what Jesus has done for us. And if you're listening to this today and you're thinking, Scott, I don't know if I'm a part of God's family, but I really want to be, then why don't you contact us? Contact us at the church. Send us an email. Get in touch with us. We'd love to chat with you. We'd love to connect with you and talk more about that. All right, I'm going to pray. Lord God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this promise of your family. Lord, that you instituted your family long ago. Actually, before you even created the world, you already had us in mind to be a part of your family. That we, like Jesus, would call you Father. That we would call you Abba Father. Lord, I pray that we would act, that we would ask, that we would live in this amazing revelation that you are our Heavenly Father, and that we are your sons and your daughters. We thank you for that. Thank you for the belonging that we have, the amazing belonging, the acceptance that we have, the approval of our Heavenly Father that we have. Lord, I pray that would be bring life and joy to our souls. We thank you in the name of our big brother, in the name of Jesus Christ, who made all of this possible for us. On our behalf, we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. And God bless you. See you soon. Bye-bye.